3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there.
Out for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. But it seems like it's been a long time. Of course, we took Memorial Day off, so the Mariners have played four games since we talked last. That's a lot. So we have a lot to get to. As you can imagine, this one's going to be jam-packed. In fact, for the next couple of days, we have a ton to talk about. Four games played, the Mariners 3-1 over that time frame. So we'll talk about what happened on the field. Briefly, we'll roll through each game, but we won't spend very long on them. We'll talk a little bit more about the game yesterday. Reynys Lias was outstanding. A move was made after the game. We'll talk about that as well. Jack Zarenczyk, the GM, we'll hear what he has to say about it. It is Tuesday, not Monday, but Bullpen Banter is here. Usually a Monday, but with the holiday, it's here today. We'll also have the week that was. A little more details about what happened last week with the M's. And also, we're going to talk some formula baseball. And the Mariners have been playing to it. We'll get more into that coming up. When we last talked on the podcast, the Mariners had just finished with three in Baltimore. We're playing game one of a three-game weekend series in Toronto. And Felix Hernandez was on the mound. Felix was simply sensational on Friday and made a little bit of history along the way.
Felix rocks. Here's the 2-2 pitch to Kawasaki. Swung on and missed. Got him. Struck him out. Strikeout number six for the night. And strikeout 2012 for his outstanding career, and that ties Felix Hernandez with Hall of Famer Jim Catfish Hunter for 71st place all time in Major League Baseball history.
Just incredible. Ties a Hall of Famer, and he moved on by him as well.
3-2 pitch to Martin, swung on and missed, held on by Zunino, and there it is, strikeout number 2013, and Felix Hernandez takes over by his lonesome, 71st place all time, strikeouts in Major League Baseball, and he's one away from tying Oral Hershiser for 70th place.
The names he is associating himself with right now are pretty incredible, and we're going to talk more about Felix coming up when he takes his next turn on Wednesday, and in a matchup I am really looking forward to. We'll talk about it more coming up, but Felix against Archer is going to be sensational. That is one of the best matchups you can conjure up in the American League right now. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow and a little bit more about Felix as well. But it's just amazing. It boggles the mind what he is doing, let alone at age 29. But the fact he's only 29 and associating himself with some of these names is pretty ridiculous. And he was great against the Blue Jays. Toronto, the top scoring team in Major League Baseball, but he rendered them harmless and useless as he goes seven innings, gives up just four hits and one run, walked just two and fanned eight. He was incredible. The Mariners, meanwhile, they put a three spot on the board in the fourth inning. They got a Morrison triple to score a couple. Zunino, a ground rule double, scored one more. And then Nelson Cruz chipped in with another home run. He blasted one in the sixth inning. Mariners got some good defense along the way, speaking of Logan Morrison.
The 1-1 pitch, he tries the bunt, lays it down on the first base side. Morrison comes up, he's got it. Reaches for the tag, and safe at first is Pilar. Morrison missed the tag, according to first base umpire Jerry Davis. He thought he got him. Now the umpires are getting together. Here comes Lloyd out of the dugout. The umpires have come out. They've asked the umpires to take a look at it in New York, and Pilar is out. Lloyd McClendon wins the challenge.
That was huge because it was after a two-run home run that Fernando Rodney coughed up in the ninth inning. It was a one-run game at that point. The tying run would have been aboard, but he was out. Rodney closes it down. Ball game over. The Mariners win game one of the Blue Jays series with Felix on the hill. A final of 4-3. And then heading into game two, looking for the series and another. We're going to talk formula in just a second, but this was it. James Paxton on the hill. And, of course, he had 20 scoreless innings in a row coming into this ball game. He gave that up right away, though. Didn't waste any time. The Blue Jays get to him with one run in the bottom of the first inning. They had a 1-0 lead at that point. But Willie Bloomquist, he lands a big blow in this game.
Burley checks. He throws to Willie. Swung on and driven to left field. Backing up is Valencia. Running up on the track. And against the fence at the top of the fence, it comes back. Scoring is Taylor. Weeks to third, getting a wave on. Here comes Ricky Weeks. He will score standing up. And Willie Bloomquist, a two-run double, gives the Mariners a 3-1 lead here in the third inning.
Kyle Seager smashed a home run as well. This is a great pitching matchup because you have the young fireballer in James Paxton from the left side who can just really bring it. One of the hardest throwing lefties in the game, especially out of the rotation. And then you have Mark Burley, one of the softest tossing lefties from the left side, who's been around for forever. I mean, he's pitched, 14 years in the big leagues, and he's gone over 200 innings in 13 of them, has never been on the DL, incredibly durable, and was really effective. He went 7 1/3, gave up 3 runs. Paxton went 6, gave up just 2, which is especially impressive against, as I mentioned, the top scoring team in the big leagues, but so much right-handed power. It can be a tough matchup for lefties. When you look at the top of the lineup, Donaldson, Bautista, Encarnacion, Martin, I mean, 1 through 4 especially, that is tough to maneuver. 4 right-handed hitters that can all take you out of the ballpark at any moment. But Paxton pitched really well once again, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. The bullpen was locked down in a 1-run game. Wilhelmsen, brilliant, 1 inning, Fan 2. Carson Smith was dealing, 1 inning. Struck out 1. His at-bat with Bautista in the 8th inning in a 1-run game was just perfect. 95-mile-per-hour saw blades right on corners, and Bautista couldn't do anything with them. Rodney lights out as well. His stuff was electric. He goes 1-2-3 and Fans 2. Bullpen lights out. They slam the door. The M's win 3-2. Great starting pitching. Great bullpen. Timely hitting. And the defense was spectacular on Saturday.
Pitch, fastball, Cano snags, backhand flip, the second double play out of the inning. Oh, that was beautiful. That was outstanding. Valencia still standing at the first baseline. He smoked that ball. Cano to his left, caught it, and then a backflip to Taylor for the double play, inning over.
Yeah, Bloomquist had a great throw at second base as well. Seager made a nice play. I mean, there were good plays all the way around. A sliding catch by Ackley in left field. Defense was sensational for the Mariners. And again, we'll get to formula in just a couple of minutes. So the Mariners at that point had taken the series over the Blue Jays. Sunday did not go as well for the M's as they were looking for the sweep. Taiwan Walker on the hill. And everything looked great early on. He goes the first 4 innings scoreless, hitless, but didn't last as the Blue Jays piled on 4 in the 5th inning. And they get to the bullpen as well with 4 in the 7th inning. Danny Farquhar gives up 3 runs in 2/3 of an inning. We'll talk about Farquhar in just a couple of moments. In that game, though, Kyle Seager did hit his 7th home run of the season, clearly warming. So that led us into the holiday Monday, Memorial Day, as the M's go to Tampa Bay. Now, you knew this series was going to be tough coming in. Tampa Bay leading the division for good reason, even with starters banged up. Their rotation is excellent. Some guys that don't get a lot of national attention, but guys that are really, really good. Their bullpen is outstanding, especially with McGee being back, who would be one of the best closers around, but he's not even closing right now because Brad Boxberger has been essentially invincible as a closer for Tampa Bay so far this season. Bullpen is excellent. Starters have been excellent. They struggle at times hitting the baseball, but they play defense as well. So it's been pitching and defense for the Rays. They came in 3 games above 500 in the first game in this series. And this was a really good pitching matchup. You had Roenis Elias on the mound for the M's, who's been really good and has helped stabilize this rotation, against Jake Odorizzi, who has been outstanding. Just one of these guys that doesn't get a lot of attention, but he's been one of the best pitchers in the American League. Wicked stuff, top 10 in ERA. He's been really good. So you knew this would be a tough matchup. You knew all 3 of these matchups would be difficult. And Elias, he just went toe for toe with the Tampa starter. Excellent job by Ronis Elias.
Pitch to Evan. Down and in. Swung on and missed. Great pitch by Elias. Strikes out the side in the third. Leaves a runner stranded.
Elias goes six innings, six hits, one run, walk three. He fanned six along the way. A solo home run, the only run he gave up. He was ducking in and out of trouble, kind of walking the tightrope at times, but he kept his balance, and it didn't hurt the cause that the Mariners, they got to Tampa early, took advantage of a miscue, and Robinson Cano, boy, was this good to see Cano coming through. In the first inning, he would add an RBI in the eighth inning as well.
Outfield about straight away, and the 0-1 to Cano swinging a ground ball right side and through for a base hit. Smith rounding third, heading home. Up of the ball is Brandon Guyer. The throw to the plate, way offline. Smith scores, heads up play, Robbie Cano, as he heads into second base without a throw from the catcher, Rene Rivera. Robinson Cano with another RBI single, and the Mariners now lead the Rays 3-1 here in the top half of the eighth.
Nelson Cruz early in the ballgame as well chipped in.
And again, the right-hander's 0-2 on the way to Cruz. Swing and a liner into right center field for a base hit. Miller will score from third. Down to second, Cano. Up with the ball, Kiermaier. The throw to third is cut off by the shortstop, Tim Beckham. Nelson Cruz with an RBI single, and it's now the Mariners 2 and the Rays nothing here in the top half of the first.
But back to Cano for a second. 2-for-4, two RBIs, and it was great to see. He went hitless in the Toronto series, 0-for-11 with four strikeouts, and the last game of the Toronto series really struggled, bounced into a couple double plays. The Mariners had some opportunities early in that ball game, especially with runners on base in front of him, and he wasn't able to come through. And he hadn't driven in a run since May 12th, so it's been a long drought for Cano, and it was great to see him come through in such a big way by driving in a couple of runs. And he talked about it after the game.
I mean, it's just good when you get your job and, especially man is going to position, only things to win games. Especially myself, it's a struggle, man is going to position, and hopefully we'll start from today. I mean, get us through today and then hold the team to win the game.
What was different today?
Well, I would say luck today because, like I said, I've been swinging the ball hard too also. But, today I was able to, stay back there. What I want, use my back leg instead of, being jumping out there.
You had 2-2 on him. You fell behind 2-2 there. We're just trying to get anything.
Well, I was just trying to do something over the plate and, not stay away from the balls away or on the ground. So, let stay away from the bad pitches and, good thing he threw a strike there. I was able to get a hit.
I'm sorry. The one in the first inning, I could almost see your body language. Your first base was like.
Yeah, that's what I went, I work so hard in the offseason, but I know, I understand life. Nothing's going to be perfect. So we're going to go through good things, bad things. And, my career been through a lot of good things. So. Team like this, that's when you got to be ready, and those are the kind of things that make you stronger and better player.
And also in the ball game, Kyle Seager extended his hitting streak.
0-1 to Kyle. Swung on, hit down the third baseline. Fair ball down into left field. Seager making a hard turn, shifting into high gear. He's coming into second and slides in safely as the ball's cut off by the shortstop, Beckham. So the hitting streak lives at 11 for Kyle Seager, his ninth double of the season, and the Mariners have a two-out runner in the sixth.
And then Mike Zunino, he would tack one on to help extend the lead.
The pitch, swing and a fly ball deep down the left field line. Holy smokes, going and going. It is gone. Goodbye, baseball. Just fair down the left field line. What a great at bat by Mike Zunino. His sixth home run of the season. This one was way up there, way out of there. And the Mariners now lead the Rays 4-1 here in the ninth. What a shot by Zunino.
Little breathing room for the M's, and the bullpen was lights out again. Mark Lowe was taking over a big role in the bullpen for the M's. He pitched the seventh inning. He gave up a hit, but that was it. And then Carson Smith, the eighth inning has become his, and he can't tamp off the board. And then Fernando Rodney comes in and picks up his 13th save of the season, gives up a hit, but that was it, and that was the ball game. The M's take game one of the series In St. Pete, 4-1, the M's improved to 21-23 now. The Rays fall to 24-22. So the M's today, they have a chance to take a series with a gorgeous pitching matchup coming up Wednesday morning. Again, we'll talk about that more in the podcast tomorrow. But before we get to the game tonight, it's something that's happened now in three of the past four games. Not only have they won three of the past four, but it's been the way they've been doing it, the formula. I think this is what we all expected from the Mariners coming into this season, the formula of excellent starting pitching, lockdown bullpen, good defense, and timely hitting. And that is exactly what we have seen with the Mariners winning three out of the past four. And we talked about it too, along with Mike Blowers, Shannon Dreher, Rick Riz, and Dave Sims. And Blow, I look at this series so far. The Mariners have taken the first two games, but to me, this has been the Seattle Mariners formula I think we expected coming in. The starting pitching has been excellent. The defense outstanding, especially yesterday with some tremendous plays. Timely hitting and the bullpen, especially yesterday, lights out. I think this is how we all pictured Mariners baseball this year, the first couple ball games of this series.
No, I would agree with that. And I think if you look at what the starters have done over the last month, really, they pitched extremely well. I think that has settled things down in the bullpen, along with getting Tom Wilhelmsen, who we saw pitch the seventh inning in the first game of this series. And so that helps the bullpen, no question. But I think the defense, you're absolutely right. We've seen these guys play some good defense in this series, and I think it's critical for them to do that because they lean so heavily on their pitching that you can't have these guys trying to get extra outs. And the thing that I like about it, Gary, is we've seen them play this type of defense for an entire season, which was last year, so they're certainly capable. And I think that we're going to continue to see this the rest of the way out now that they have things worked out. And it looks like Taylor has settled in at shortstop. Of course, Kyle has been outstanding in this series in the first two games. He's made every kind of play you can possibly make as a third baseman and made it look easy. So I think you have to be happy with what you're seeing overall.
Exactly, and the success of the starters and the relievers, Gary, as you know, go hand in hand. Felix, seven innings, one run a couple of days ago, and then Paxton got it going after the shaky bottom of the first inning. Six innings, only two runs. That sets up the guys to do their thing down in the bullpen. The bullpen was outstanding yesterday with Wilhelmsen, Smith, and Fernando Rodia. 1-2-3, bottom of the ninth inning, and they're still hitting the long ball, and it paid off. 2-1 run victory decisions, and a couple of days ago is Nelson Cruz with that leadoff home run in the sixth inning. Mariners win it by one. Kyle Seager, a home run yesterday. Mariners win it by one, although Willie Blomquist, just had a fantastic game yesterday with a big hit and a big play defensively, and he was in there, who had a lot of success against Mark Burley.
You rarely talk about defense and momentum together, but I tell you what, this team could be maybe pointed in the correct direction here now that the defense the last couple of days has been a lot sharper. We've bemoaned the fact that there have been a lot of games that haven't been clean. Well, I like the aggressive defense that the Cano play, the Willie Blomquist play. I'm hoping that this is the kind of momentum that will get them back in the path that you talked about, Mike, that they were on last year. And if that happens, and with the pitching continuing to head in that in the direction they're going, this could be the team we and everybody else in baseball expected to be here coming into this season.
Something we talked about yesterday, too, was contributions all over the place, too. Up and down the lineup, guys coming off the bench. I mean, Lloyd's talked about this, too. This is going to be when they're at their best, is contributions from everyone.
Well, I think you're right, but I think the one thing that is kind of exciting, Gary, and you mentioned it, with the pitching and the defense, looks like it's back in order now. I really believe that if that is the case and the guys can continue down that road, I think that there's going to be some winning streaks for them, because I think offensively, because of their ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark, I think you're going to see them scoring four and five runs, and if they do that, they're going to win a lot of baseball games.
And I think that one of the ways that they can do that, and I think this is an area that we can continue to hopefully see a little bit of improvement on, is what they're doing on the base paths. I think that, you know, we've seen the defense get cleaned up a little bit. I think we can see more happen on the base paths. We saw that in the game, the first game. You saw Nelson Cruz and Kyle Seager advancing on the ball to center field. That's something we can see more of, just executing a little bit more when you're trying to manufacture that run.
So the Mariners have a chance tonight to win a series and also lock themselves into a winning road trip no matter what, falling 2-3 to Baltimore taking two of three from Toronto. Now the first game from Tampa Bay. Jay Happ will take the hill for the M's, 3-1 with a 3.61 ERA. His last time out, he had that weird start in Baltimore. He gave up the grand slam early in pretty terrible conditions, and then the rain delay, so he didn't go long in the ball game. So he'll take the mound. He's been really consistent all season long for the Mariners. He's going to go against Alex Colome for Tampa Bay. Colome, a right-hander, 6'2", 220 pounds. He is a guy that, for the most part, has pitched pretty well this season. He's 3-1 with a 4.81 ERA in five starts. Now, 4.81 ERA, but a lot of that coming in one ball game against the Yankees May 11th, went six innings, gave up eight earned, four home runs in the ball game. But those are the only four homers he has given up this season. Moved into the rotation at the beginning of May, so this will be his sixth start of the season. Against Baltimore, five innings, no runs. Next time out, Boston, five innings, two runs. Then the Yankees game happened. At Minnesota, goes 3 1/3 and gave up three earned, so he struggled in back-to-back starts, but last time kind of corrected the ship against Oakland. He went five innings, didn't give up an earned run. So it'll be pretty interesting to see which guy we see tonight against the Mariners. Lefties, by the way, batting .298 against him with three home runs, which certainly is always something to look at when you look at the Mariners lineup. So 4:10 first pitch from St. Pete as the Mariners look for a series win. By the way, speaking of lefty starters, I should bring this up. So lefty starters in the month of May, the best ERAs for all lefty starters in the game in Major League Baseball for the month of May. The best lefty starter, James Paxton, a 1.33 ERA. Madison Bumgarner has the second best, 1.75. Lester from the Cubs, 1.85. Anderson the Dodgers, 2.12. And then Roenis Elias, a 2.45 ERA. Those are your five best lefty starter ERAs this month, all of them with four-plus starts, so comparable. But Roenis Elias, he's had that kind of month for the Mariners, along with James Paxton as well. And we'll see if Jay Happ can make it another outstanding lefty effort in Tampa Bay today. Now, there was a move made after the game as well. Austin Jackson will be activated. He's going to be ready to play today. Probably going to be in center field today for the Mariners as well. He has been activated. Now, a lot of the conversation has been when he is activated, who is going to be the one to go off the roster? And that question has been answered. Danny Farquhar will be sent down. So the Mariners will go with a shorter bullpen, a six-man pen. Here's Jack Sorensic talking about the move.
We made a roster move, and a roster move is that we are going to option Danny Farquhar to AAA, and Austin Jackson will be activated tomorrow. So as we talk through this with Lloyd and the whole staff, we think that, you know, for a temporary period of time, this is the right thing to do. It keeps our position players intact, and you know, we feel pretty good about what we're sending them out in the next couple of days. You never know, but you know, if we have to make a move shortly after that, we're prepared to do that. But that's the move that we've decided on.
Any concerns about a short bullpen at that point?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're always concerned anytime you're short anywhere, you know. So, but we think that for this period of time, this is the right thing to do. And if we have to make an adjustment quickly, we can do that as well.
And keep in mind, too, Happ pitching today, Felix pitching tomorrow before returning home on Thursday against Cleveland. So a move can be made then, too, obviously. A move can be made at any point to adjust. But there's Jack Sorensic talking about it. Danny Farquhar had some things to say after the ball game too.
You know, I think I'm not too far off. You know, there was a couple outings a little earlier where I was lost, and I feel like I battled back from that, and I feel like I'm not too far off. Just, you know, catch a break here and there, and I'm back to where I was.
What do you want to use this opportunity for? You get down there and specifically kind of get the work to look at something? Or...
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking at stuff here, and, you know, it's you know, little things. Cutter command than anything. But, yeah, use this time to, you know, get away from the big spotlight you know, not worry about, you know, obviously you're trying to win every game, but it's not as important as it is up here. You know, a little less pressure maybe. But yeah, just go down there and get back to my old self.
You said you feel lost. Was that with the cutter? Was that
no, it was with everything. I mean, being able to throw any pitch over the plate where I wanted to. You know, for the most part, now I've given up 7 runs in my last 3 outings, but I felt like I've thrown pretty good. Just a couple things here, a couple things there that didn't go my way, and 7 runs later, here I am.
How tough has this been? I mean, you know, all the success last year and to struggle like this.
Yeah, you know, it's not my first time sucking, so been humbled plenty of times before in baseball. You just kind of got to forget about it and battle your way through it. Man, when I went, nothing was as hard as, you know, when I went to 5 teams in 6 weeks in 2012. You know, so I just need to get back into the rhythm and hopefully I'll be back up here.
You know who you are this time. I mean, you know what to, back then you were changing things left and right.
Changing arm slots,
right.
And, you know, really... you know, doing things big time different. Now it's, you know, just a little tinkering and, yeah.
Well, some interesting thoughts there on what has got to be a really tough day for Danny Farquhar, but clearly has the right attitude going about it. And needless to say, Mariners so much better off with him right, and they really need him to be right moving forward. He's such a key to the bullpen last year. He really... had an excellent year last year, pitched in high leverage situations for a lot of the season, 2.66 ERA in 66 games, 71 innings out of the pen, struck out 81 in that time frame. I mean, his strikeouts per 9, 10.3, that's awfully impressive. And he was really good. And it'd be huge for this team if he goes down, finds himself, comes back, and he becomes that guy out of the bullpen once again. Because right now you see it in games they're ahead, and they have it down right now because you have Will Helmsen, who you feel comfortable in, who's, I mean, it's been massive since returning from his DL trip. You have Lowe, who's become dependable. You have Furbush from the left side. Carson Smith is about as good as you get from setup man in baseball right now. And so you've really got to cook in if you add the Farquhar from last year or the effective Farquhar back into that mix. So that's what the Mariners will be looking at and looking. Maybe it'll be a short stay. I think they're hoping it'll be a short stay for Danny Farquhar. But he'll go down to Tacoma and we'll see what he does there. Speaking of bullpen, I think we've covered everything so far. So why don't we hand things over to Charlie Furbush? It is bullpen banter time.
And we're back with another edition of Bullpen Banter. Today, I'm Charlie Furbush, the host of Bullpen Banter, and today, a unique special guest on this lovely Canadian version of Bullpen Banter, if you may. Our clubhouse manager came all the way to be on this show, Ryan Stiles. How are you, man?
I'm good, Charles. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, tell me, how do you get in the business? When did you decide you wanted to be a clubhouse manager?
1999, when I started with the Mariners.
Well, yes. What made you want to go down that road?
I like helping kids. I like to watch kids fulfill their dreams. You know, like anything else, you start at the bottom and work your way up, and start in the minor leagues and work my way back up here.
All right. That's a beautiful thing, man. You provide a lot of good stuff for us. Now, speaking of the minor leagues, give me the worst clubhouse that you had to manage.
I would say...
just in terms of, you know, facility, location.
The worst facility that I've ever been to was in Clinton, Iowa, in the Midwest League when we were in the playoffs. Mark Lowe was a rookie and...
A young Mark Lowe. So you've seen him. I'm going to get him on the show next week.
Oh, boy, I've seen him for years. He came straight...
Funny guy, huh?
He's an awesome.
So, yeah, I would say I was a former member of the Midwest League. I played in West Michigan, but... I'm going to have to give the worst clubhouse, not to Clinton. I'm going to give it to Beloit.
Beloit was, we were there during the second round of that same year, and that was a close second, yes.
Okay.
Old, a lot of history, but not very up to date.
Yeah, back in 2007 when I got drafted, I actually played our league championship in Beloit, Wisconsin. And the funny thing about their clubhouse was it was just one building behind home plate, and both teams had to go off the field and go in the same door, and one team went left, another team went right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we were on the road. We ended up winning the championship, and it was kind of, you know, a little, I felt like maybe we're being obnoxious. I don't know, but we were, you know, celebrating our league championship victory. And, you know, they just were, you know, hop, skip, and a jump down the hall. That's where their clubhouse was.
Yeah.
If you were going to be in a movie, this movie was going to be made about your life. You had to pick one actor to, you know, portray you in a movie. Who are you picking?
Probably John Travolta.
Johnny T?
Saturday Night Fever.
And then you met him.
Because I love to dance. You know?
Did you meet him?
You know what? I didn't get a chance to meet him. I missed him in Texas last year, and I wasn't on the last road trip when we were in Anaheim.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. So Grease Lightning.
Yeah, I hear he's a good guy. Great actor, and even more, a better dancer.
What happens in the off season? How much work do you spend in the clubhouse preparing for the upcoming season?
We spend a lot of work in the clubhouse preparing, not so much for the, you know, the upcoming season, but it's usually mostly the upcoming homestand. You know, I'll do stuff right now to get ready for the homestand coming up. And it's just a process. It's a long season. It's, you know, you got to stay even keel.
Absolutely. You know, I totally agree.
You got to keep up on everything.
Boom. Absolutely. And keeping up on everything, what would you say that your wife would say the best quality about you is?
Probably that I'm a loving husband.
Good answer. I hope she listens to
that. And a very good father.
Boom. That's a 1-2 punch right there, right?
Yeah, that is a 1-2 punch. I mean, you can't get any better than that.
What, do you have a bucket list? Do you have a place you want to go you've never been to that you want to go check out? Maybe you want to take the wife, take the kids?
I've always wanted to hike Mount Rainier.
Mount Rainier? I want to go there.
I've lived in the Pacific Northwest. Well, we were in Arizona for 11 years, but, I mean, I was born and raised up here. You think I would have had a chance to do it, but I haven't. I'm going to say Italy. I've always wanted to go to Italy.
Yeah.
My wife's family's Italian. I love to eat, and I love to eat Italian food. So
boom.
I've always...
That's amazing.
That's one place I've always wanted to go.
That's cool. I want you to let the people know what your go-to karaoke song is. When you're going to go out and sing some karaoke, I know you have. I know you have. Don't be lying to me here.
My go-to song, I'm going to tell you, is Run to the Hills, Iron Maiden.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I'm a heavy guy. You know, I like it heavy. I like it heavy now, metal. I grew up in the 80s, so I'm pretty hardcore like that.
That's about as hardcore as you can get. Can you do it? Can you sing it? I think I could pick some words up if you started it.
Yeah, you know,
this is kind of a thing on the show now.
I don't have an audience right now, so I'm kind of gun-shy.
Me, Rick Riz would love to hear it.
Run to the hills.
Boom. Oh, man. Thank you for joining this week's episode.
Thank you very much.
That's good enough. That's going to wrap it up here with this week's edition of the Canadian Bullpen Banter with Ryan Stiles. And thanks for having me on the show. I'm Charlie Frobisch, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, there it is, Charlie Frobisch once again. And before we go, how about a little week that was?
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners past week
on Mariners Magazine.
Paxton's pitch. Swihart swings and hits a bouncer over to Brad Miller at chest high hop. He throws a rifle shot to first base. Swihart is out and the threat comes to a close. James Paxton strands runners at second and third at base. And with that, Paxton 19 straight scoreless innings.
And he delivers, and Kyle with a swing and a drive deep to right field. Going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Kyle Seager greets Craig Breslow into the ballgame. His first pitch to him with a home run to straightaway right, his fifth home run of the season, and it's a two-run drive, and it's now the Mariners 5 and the Red Sox nothing. How about that?
Breaking ball hammered deep left center field. Adam Jones is going to watch it. Get out of here! Three-run jack by Nelson Cruz, and the Mariners have a 4-1 lead.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Boom, check-a-boom, check-a-boom.
Check-a-boom, check-a-boom.
The 1-2 offer. Strike three called with a breaking ball. Davis called looking. That is strikeout number 3 for Elias.
A 1-2 pitch to Paredes. Over the top curveball. See you later. Swung on and missed. Oh, he is on fire. 4 Ks tonight for Elias.
2-2 pitch. The Ruggiano swing and a fly ball deep to left center field. Pierce going back, looking up. Goodbye, baseball. into the bleachers, Justin Ruggiano. Stretch and the 0-1 swing and a one-hopper to Cano at second. He's got it. The throw to first and the ball game is over. The Mariners win it 4-2. Runner goes, swing and a fly ball into shallow left field, and that's in there for a base hit. Wellington Castillo with his first hit as a Seattle Mariner already has an RBI.
I'm a Mariner now, and I hope to play against him in October. You know, that's all I care. I care about win now. I'm going to do all they take to win games and go to the postseason and World Series.
Alex Rocks, here's the 2-2 pitch to Kawasaki. Swung on and missed. Got him. Struck him out. Strikeout number 6 for the night. And strikeout 2012 for his outstanding career. And that ties Felix Hernandez with Hall of Famer Jim Catfish Hunter for 71st place all time in Major League Baseball history.
Catfish on the mound. Strike 3, the umpire says. Batter has to go back and sit down.
3-2, pitch to Martin. Swung on and missed. Held on by Zunino, and there it is. Strikeout number 2013. And Felix Hernandez takes over by his lonesome 71st place all time strikeouts in Major League Baseball. And he's one away from tying Oral Hershiser for 70th place.
The 1-1 pitch. He tries the bunt, lays it down to the first base side. Morrison comes up. He's got it. Reaches for the tag and safe at first is Pilar. Morrison missed the tag, according to first base umpire Jerry Davis. Here comes Lloyd out of the dugout. The umpires have come out. They've asked the umpires to take a look at it in New York, and Pilar is out. Lloyd McClendon wins the challenge.
I don't know. I knew he was out. Whether or not they called him out, that's another issue.
Swung on and driven to left field. Backing up is Valencia. Running up on the track. And against the fence at the top of the fence, it comes back. Here comes Ricky Weeks. He will score standing up. And Willie Blomquist, a two-run double. Pitch. Fastball, Cano snags, backhand flip, the second double play out of the inning.
Two outs, nobody on, bottom of the ninth, and the 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike 3, and this ball game is over. Fernando Rodney shoots that arrow high into the sky here in Toronto as the Mariners win it. 3-2 over the Toronto Blue Jays. Rodney will pick up save number 12, and the win going to James Paxton.
Oh, Canada. Our home in native land. Nature love. See?
All right, well, that's pretty good.
See you later!